welcome to Run, Build, Grow, the podcast that laces up its running shoes and dives deep into the heartbeat of the communal spirit of running. I'm your host, Andrew Ware, the Runnin' Rev, and I'm thrilled to take you on this exhilarating journey where we explore stories that go beyond the pavement. And boy, do I have an episode for you. I welcome Erin Kunst onto the podcast to come and talk about her journey out of Grand Rapids, Michigan, and her experiences with the running community. And you know what? Something that probably many of us runners need is a little bit of just humbleness along this journey, realizing that there is so much to be gained from community. There's so much to be learned. And we see that as Erin continues to grow in community, she not only gets faster, but she also has more that she can offer back. And even to the point where she grows on the run and beyond. And so this is an amazing episode as we see Erin's journey and hear even about her most recent race. And so I'm going to let Erin tell these stories. So let's dive into this episode. All right. Today we have Erin Kunst joining us. Erin, how's it going?
Oh, doing pretty well. I feel a little bit like I'm in an interview. Like I feel like I'm in a, like, I don't know, like a job interview. Like I need to sell myself or something. I don't know, but no, I'm good.
No. This is great. For listeners, probably the best thing about doing a podcast where I'm not like actively seeking professional runners, but I'm more seeking folks who are just doing this for fun is I get a lot of folks who have like, I've never been on a podcast before. What do you do? What does it look like? And I'm like, you know what? We're just going to learn how to do this together.
Yeah, this is my first podcast interview. So
yeah, and this is great. And being able to interview folks like Erin and just everybody else who's been on here is always one of the cool things with this because you get all of these different stories. So Erin, let's dive into your story. Let's start up at the top where we always do. What is your community and what makes your community awesome?
I would say on the vast majority of the weeks of the year, I'm in a community called Run GR. It's based out of Grand Rapids, Michigan, although we do have a lot of people who come in from the surrounding towns, like, I don't know, people that don't know West Michigan, I guess it doesn't really matter, but we have a lot of different areas of the local Grand Rapids area. And then I have to give a shout out to Bobby because he's the one who put us in touch. And once a year for spring break, we go down to Bentonville, Arkansas. So then I claim them as my honorary Arkansas running group, the Ozark Mountain Baglers. So yeah, once a year I'm a bagler. Well, 1 week a year I'm a bagler, and the rest of the year I'm with Run GR for the most part. So
anything that brings you close to that mustache really has got to be a fun time.
Exactly. No, great. It's kind of funny. I met them during COVID because, you know, we had originally planned to go down during spring break. And then of course everything shut down and we just kept postponing our trip. And then eventually we were like, you know, we're going to go down there to be outside. So it might've been taboo to some people, but we ended up going down in June. And then I thought, you know, if there is a group that meets, like maybe they'll be okay with me joining them. And so I'd reached out to a nationwide Facebook page that's a running group that I'm a part of. And I asked if anybody had any running groups in Bentonville. And that was the one that was recommended to me. So on vacation at 5:30 in the morning, I showed up to run with the bagel group and that's everything. The rest is history, as they say. So.
And I think that's, you know, that's one of those cool things of seeing how the running community can work for you. You know, I remember outside was kind of like the safe place during COVID, right? You know, you could the outside was like, hey, you could do this. This can work. You know, I remember we went and did a couple of walks, some state parks here in Virginia and stuff like that. But those were always the really fun things. But I love that, you know, nationwide connection that kind of starts to bring us together and kind of bring everything up to the point of where, okay, this is something cool. And now it's something that you're even like, all right, I'm going back and I'm having fun with this. Yeah. And those are the cool stories that as you talk about community and the different places you can get involved, that we remind ourselves it's not just about sort of that local run community where you're involved, but that there's this greater run community that's also out there. And I know with my interview a couple of weeks ago with Morgan, you know, we kind of talked about that where it's not just that local community, but it's everything that kind of brings around that. And so we look at kind of how a lot of these communities have impacted your journey and kind of a little bit like, you know, it's nice to have a nice steady stream of guests now. But it recalls, but you know, you didn't always start out on the community end of this concept. And like some folks, it kind of took you a little bit to get into it. So let's kind of back up a little bit, because your greatest like asset in this area is that you had this time where you weren't a part of community. And so you've been able to see kind of both sides of this, where it's been, you know, running solo, doing things on your own, and then doing things as a part of community and what that's looked like. So why don't you take us back? You know, what was, you know, maybe not even necessarily the reason, but what was the sense behind running solo at the time? And then what was kind of the catalyst that started to get you involved in running communities?
Yeah. So, I mean, I have to take it way back, because this upcoming January will be 15 years that I've been running, that all that I will have considered myself a runner. I ran 1 year of high school track my senior year. And I didn't love the running thing, but I loved the camaraderie thing. And then I took a gap year. And in that gap year, I was 18, because I turned 18 a couple years after I graduated. And I went through my first breakup. And as an 18-year-old, of course, I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. Like, he was my first boyfriend, you know. And the only thing that my innocent, naive, rule-following personality had back in the day was the thought, because in my mind, like, being a rebel was not an option. And so I was like, well, what's the thing that can, you know, that I can help get out of this mental, you know, slump that I'm in this depressional phase. And I was like, my 18-year-old self was like, I'm going to get hot and make him regret breaking up with me, because that's how. And so the only thing I had was running, because I was out in the country. We lived 30 minutes from the nearest gym. So, I mean, if my only access, I remembered the 1 year of track that I had done, and it was, you know, the endorphins that I had running, even though I didn't want to admit that it was from running at the time. You know, I said, well, if I felt that good, maybe I can feel that good again. And that's how it started. I sprinted out my door. I made it a half mile and then sat on the side of the road and cried, because pacing, not a concept I had at the time. And then I think it was the next morning, I was like, you know, I bet if I pace myself, I can run a mile. Like, I have to be able to run a mile, right? Like, that's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And so I slowed down and I made it a mile. And I don't really know the trajectory over the next couple months, but at some point it was, well, if I can do that, maybe I can do this. And, oh, well, I made it 3 miles, but around the block is 4, because I lived in the country and everything's square miles. And so I was like, well, maybe I can run 4 miles. And then it just progressed. And I had a teammate from high school who had been recruited to go to Adrian. And she was like, well, why don't you talk to the college you're committed to? I was committed to Cornerstone University to go that fall. And she said, why don't you talk to them about walking on the team? And you could, I mean, I could go into so many details. This podcast would be like 3 hours long, but because I'm talking, it's the extrovert in me. But long story short, I was accepted onto the team. I walked on the team, and I'm kind of the personality that when I start something, I want to see it through to its end. And so I joined the team. And although the school was good, I don't know that I would have stayed except for the team, but I had felt like I had committed to this team and I needed to see it through. And so I walked on the team and I stayed and I graduated. And by the end of my time there, I went from being last place on the team to a national qualifier in the marathon. The NAIA at the time had an outdoor marathon had a marathon for outdoor track and field. And so you could qualify by running a certain time in the half or in the full. And of course, as a college athlete, your coaches want you for any number of distances during track season. And so we always qualified using the half. And so I ran my first marathon in May of 2013 and my junior year at outdoor national championships, and then ran my second marathon the following year as a senior. And the first time I hit the Boston qualifying standard, but of course I was like, oh, well, I'm going to just run this, my senior year marathon next year. So I'll just requalify for Boston. Like, distance runner naivety of if I did it once, I'll just do it again, which it went from nationals. My junior year was in Indiana Labor Day week or Memorial Day weekend. And then my senior year, it was in Gulf Shores, Alabama, the same weekend. And it went from 50s and 60 degrees to 80 and 90. And needless to say, I did not hit the qualifying standard for Boston, but at that point in time, I knew I could do it. So I re-ran a marathon that fall, went to Boston for the first time in 2015. And then at this point, I was graduated. I graduated in May of 2014. And I had been running with a team for so long that I felt like I still wanted to, but also I was definitely a little bit, and I will fully admit this was completely ego and naive and just full of myself or whatever. But I was like, well, you know, when you come from a college running scene, everyone is competitive, right? Like, I mean, the goal is to be fast, like, and fast is a very specific number based on school records and school top tens and qualifying for nationals and all that. So when I graduated, ego is really the only thing I had, is like, I looked at running groups and I thought, well, they're not fast because they're trying to only run, you know, insert pace, which to me was slow at the time, you know? And so I was like, why would I run with a running group who has quote unquote competitive runners who are only doing X pace? And I told one of my clients this a couple months ago and they were horrified. And I was like, I'm telling you right now, that was a horrible mindset, but I was 23, 24. Like, I didn't know any better, you know? I was like, but anybody that runs with a tutu isn't competitive, you know? I don't know. It's funny to look back on now at how immature that thinking was. But I think it was 2017, 16 into 17. I was working in a chiropractic office at the time. And one of my patients, who I deemed in my very, you know, egotistical mindset fast, was one of my patients. And he was like, oh yeah, well, I run with RunGR. And I was like, you run with a running group? And I was like, but you're fast. And he's like, yeah, but there's all paces. And then I started to kind of get this like, well, maybe I do miss running with people, because I still ran with college teammates whenever I could, who were still running. And so in February of 2017, it was like the grossest day ever. It was like sleeting and, you know, 25 degrees. Like, it was a gross day in Michigan. It was a typical Michigan winter day. But I ran with the group and I was like immediately welcomed in. Like, the conversation topics that flowed around me, it was just like, they were like, oh yeah, you've been here every week. We know exactly who you are. And I was like, wow, that was like running in college again, except for it was a whole mixture of, you know, people and ages and like goals and, you know, body shapes. Like, and I was like, wow, like this, that was actually really fun. And then like, I don't think I went back right away because my job at the time required me to work every couple Saturdays, but you know, when I finally committed to being a member in 2017 in July, I pretty much haven't looked back, and I try to sell it ever to everyone who's trying to like start a running, like any type of running goal. I'm like, you need to find a running group because it's so much easier. And you've had other guests say this, but like, when you go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, you go together. And it's such a true statement, just because, I mean, there have been runs that I would have quit if I hadn't been with people. And, you know, maybe it wouldn't have been the end of my training, but also I became, you know, a better person because I pushed through some mentally tough areas because of other people. So it's kind of the very, as short a version of my story as I can make it. Like I said, I can make this a 3-hour podcast.
No, I mean, I think that's great because it like features so many things that, one, I think, for a lot of folks who, like you, are on the faster end of the spectrum, will have that sort of thought that run communities aren't for them because the run community can't keep up with them. And as someone who is not, you know, fast, when I'm actually on the run and still kind of am at the front end of my run crew, I could say, like, you know, I think that there is that sense where, oh, the faster folks are too good for run club. And then you have the people on the other end who are like, oh, run club are just, it's just for fast people who are trying to get faster and trying to make it to Boston or break world records. You know, only Eliud Kipchoge is allowed to be in a run club because he's the fastest man on the earth. But I think highlighting that kind of says that as humans, there are these sort of insecurities that come with being a part of community, and that it's as much us getting over our own insecurities to kind of see what is in community in order to experience it. So as you have this mindset and you're like, oh, well, I'm too fast, and kind of it is that ego driven mindset, you know, who are the people?
I wasn't as fast then as I am now. And now I'm sorry, I interrupted you, but like,
no, you're good.
Looking back, it was like young, immature brain where you're like, oh, I'm too good for everybody because I'm 25 and I know everything, you know, like that's just, I just laugh looking back because I'm like, you weren't even that fast.
Well, and you use that to drive your own ego too, which kind of often shows the detriment that we can have towards ourselves, because you say, oh, I'm faster now. And how that makes you fast. It's not that, you know, you're putting in the miles, but it's often just like, sometimes a positive vibe can do wonders for what it is. So who were the folks who kind of were like, Aaron, stop it. Like, stop being stupid and come out and join us for a run. Look, you don't have to be fast. Come out and jog with us. Have a good time. Have a laugh. Have a bagel.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, looking back, I don't know. Well, that's not true. I met my now husband in April 2017 and found out that he was a part of said run club. And I was crushing super hard. So when I found out he was a member, I was like, oh, like, I kind of have to go, because that's a guarantee that I'm going to see him. But aside from that factor, I don't actually, and this is where it gets kind of funny, is I don't actually know that there was any one person, except for that I was hearing stories about all the places all these people had been. And so, like, I mean, there were Kona qualifiers and there were like world marathon age group contenders. And I was like, wow, like I want to come back and talk to that person, because I want to hear what they've done and in or where they've been or like the training that they've done. Cause I had just been doing the same like one or two workouts, you know, a week that we'd been doing in college. And at that point, I started running with people who were so much better than me that it inspired me to be more and to do more than I was doing. And not that I was doing anything wrong, because obviously I think the older I've gotten, the more I like really support people who are like, I'm not competitive. I'm like, that's fine. Like, you're moving your body, you're staying healthy. Like, If that's what you enjoy doing, please keep doing it. Like, not everybody needs to be competitive, but you're still showing up and you're moving your body, and that's what counts. But at the time, speed was very important to me. And so like, I kept coming because there were people who were pushing me to be faster. And that's like, that was what I was craving. So I think growing up, I had a lot of insecurities about, like, I was that kind of kid that was kind of decent at everything, but I was never recognized for any one thing. And I wanted that one thing so badly. And post college, I was the only person really in my group that was still running. And it was finally the thing that everybody in my extended circle was recognizing me for, like, oh, Aaron is still running. And so that was the other reason I think that I kept going, is I finally had that thing. And then as things do, they weave together, and, you know, this helped that and that helped this. And like, that makes you who you are. But, yeah, I mean, originally, I don't know that there was any one person. It was just all the people in the group's stories of things they'd done and places they'd been that I really craved that. And I wanted to be a part of something that I didn't even know was a possibility until I met them.
Mm-hmm. And then what is the all around aspect of that look like? Because, you know, one of the other things that we often hear is how those stories kind of at the front end of the pack help to inspire the folks who just throughout the pack. And so you talked a little bit about, you know, the role of welcoming others and being there, not just with the folks who are doing all these wonderful and amazing things, but with the very aspect of movement being this wonderful and amazing thing and kind of taking place and taking shape within your community. And so how have you translated your experience of getting involved with Run GR and, you know, in these other various places with hoping to create a welcoming community where no matter what you're doing, no matter where you are on your journey, no matter what your thought process is in feeling like you're unworthy of being a part of the community, how are you making that connection for folks? How are you helping them feel welcome? And how is that driving your own journey as well?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think being the age I am now, it's translated to becoming, to seeing potential in people that I wanted seen in myself, and encouraging them to believe in themselves and that you're capable of more than you think you're capable of. And whether that be a distance or a speed, like, I never, you know, we talked a little bit before this, like, I never tell anyone they have to do a marathon, because the marathon is a tough event. And if you don't enjoy the training for a marathon, you're not going to enjoy the last 26.2 of that training cycle. And you need to be able to enjoy the process. So that's the first thing, is like, don't feel pressured to do anything you don't want to do. But also know that if you choose to do that, you are more than capable of that. And you can be so good, whether that be speed or just the process or anything like that. But I think I've tried to, I'm a medical massage therapist too. And as that, I kind of see people and I'm able to kind of point them towards maybe some stretches or strengthening exercises that I see, like if I'm running behind someone and I see their strides, like I can, you know, kind of make some anatomical assumptions based on people's gaits and things like that. I'm like, hey, like, I don't know if you know you're doing this, but I bet if you do this exercise, like this will feel better in the long run and things like that. So I think using the knowledge that I've accumulated over the last 15 years, I think that's really, it's kind of put me in, like, I don't feel old, but this was the first birthday this year. I turned 33 this year. And this was the first birthday that I thought, no, it makes sense that I'm this old. Like, I feel like I know enough about life to be this old. Like, you know, I don't feel old, but like, I feel confident in that age for the first time ever. Like, historically it's been, I'm not old enough to be this old, you know, but like now I'm like, no, it makes sense because of all the things that I can piece together and that I can recommend and the situations that I've been through. I don't know if that really answered your question. I feel like I'm kind of like flitting around like a little butterfly, but sometimes I get off on tangents. As much as, you know, we all say as children, like, I'm never going to be my parents. Like, I am my mother's daughter. And she will be like, well, let me tell you the story. And she'll start with like a circumstance that's like completely irrelevant, but it, like, it connects. And so, like, I don't know. I am my mother's daughter in that I weave stories that are 20 minutes longer than they need to be.
No, I mean, I think it's always looking at, it's not just what you get out of community. And I hear you so much talking about all of the people and not necessarily by name, but, you know, whether they have names that you can name or whether they're just part of the journey of what you have gotten out of community, what you've learned, the speed that you have that's produced in you out of this journey, the joy, the passion, all of that stuff that comes from it. And oftentimes the reflection becomes, okay, what can I give back? What can I do to help not just take from the running community, but also to give to the running community? And I think that becomes the important part because, you know, I think about this here in the 757 here in Hampton Roads, Virginia. You know, one of our big run crews is trying to put together an elite program. And they're talking about, you know, what does it look like to have an elite program? And of course, with the elite program, there's always that sort of elitist kind of structure that oftentimes comes with it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that I was disappointed about is how that kind of structure was perpetuated in a lot of the conversation. And what I hope to kind of get rid of, and what I look at, you know, folks like the person who is my coach, one of my friends who co-leads my run club with me, is, you know, folks who know that they can go fast or folks who know they can do something and yet they feel obligated, not necessarily obligated, but because they feel a part of this community, they feel this sense and camaraderie of what it means to also give back, that it just doesn't feel like they're taking from the community. And a lot of times I feel like we can, you know, get down into that perspective where it's like, especially with where you had talked about yourself in sort of that ego area. And then you come into community and it kind of translates into that. Yeah. And what it looks like to not just take from community and say, oh, I'm getting faster, this is making me better. You know, oh, I've got friends. Oh, I met my husband. I did all of this stuff. But you're also thinking of, okay, well, how can I give back? How can I, you know, be productive? And so to talk about those ways that you've given back, you know, in what ways has your giving back, has your work within this community, how have you seen that help your journey as well?
I mean, it makes it sound a little bit selfish, but like, I think in helping other people, I've realized how much I actually have to give. Like sometimes you don't know how much you know until you start talking about it. And then I was talking with a very recent friend actually, and she was telling me that she was going after her Boston qualifier. And she started telling me about some of her, training that she'd been doing. And I was like, have you done this? And she's like, well, no. And I was like, and not that like every coach, I'm not like dissing her coach, but like, I mean, it was, her coach was a good coach, but it wasn't for someone with ambitious goals. Like, and I think that's the difference. And so like, actually she I'm actually just recently started coaching her just because she needed something different. Like she'd had, you know, three marathon failures in a row. And I was like, all right, let's start something. Let's like kind of start from scratch and let's rebuild you for the spring. Like, let's take all the pressure off. And like, I kind of told her, I was like, just because you have a goal doesn't mean you have to get it in the next try. Like there is beauty in the process. And then I have another, I mean, I had another friend who she was already fast. Like we ran together for the first time and she qualified for Boston, not doing any speed workouts. Like she's just like, oh yeah, I just ran and every day and I'd go out my door and I was like, you've never done intervals or tempo runs? And she's like, what are those? And I was like, oh my goodness, girl, like you start doing tempo,
lucky
runs, you're going to take, you know, 10 to your marathon time. She's like, oh, like she, I think she'd run 325 and she started doing some tempo and like structured training and came off an injury. So she was very cautious, rebuilt herself with some very dedicated strength work and PT drills and all that. And after that season of injury and then strength training and structured training, she ran a PR at Chicago last fall. And I think she was 7 minutes faster. And I asked her about her nutrition and she's like, oh, like I took a couple gels. And I was like, you didn't take any nutrition? She's like, well, like, I don't know. Like, it's just kind of, and I was like, you start training nutrition, you're going to take 10 minutes off your marathon time. She's like, oh no. She ran 3:07 at Bayshore Marathon this spring. And I was like, I was gonna say I told you so, but like I've been doing this long enough. I've made so many mistakes that I now, like want to help you do it the right way. So you don't have to get through 15 marathons before you go, oh yeah, like maybe I should train my gut along with like my legs and my heart and my lungs. Like, yeah, you can't get to a marathon and start slamming your gut with gels every, you know, 3, 4, 5 miles and then not fall apart because your body's like, ugh, like what are you throwing at me? So I don't know. I feel like it's helped me maybe even be a little bit more confident. And maybe that comes into the whole thing of like feeling my age for the first time is like, I actually believe that I know more than I think I do, you know, like I'm realizing I mean, I've had so many people go before me though, that taught me so many things. And like, I can't really take credit for it because I have had so many awesome people. My college coach was absolutely incredible. And just guiding us and training us and then I kind of put all of his training aside as soon as I graduated from college, which was great. And that's why it took me 15 marathons to figure out the fueling thing, but, which is just funny to think about. But yeah, I mean, being a part of the community is, I don't know, like it's pretty incredible. Like I tell everybody, like, I don't care if you run or not, like go to a marathon finish line, like the amount of community that you'll experience watching people and their support crews come out to greet them. And it's just like, the running community in itself, both trail and road, are just absolutely phenomenal. And they definitely both have different positives, but they also have the same camaraderie of like, let's all finish this thing we started, you know, how many ever weeks or months ago. It's just an incredible thing to be a part of. So.
Well, and along with you helping others to reach their goals, there does become the lingering aspect of like, all right, but I'm not done. Right. You talk about being 33 and, you know, it sounds like you have goals and things that you hope to accomplish in your journey as well. And I think we can all empathize with that and say, you know, there's this great and this awesome part of being involved in communities and wanting to help others grow. And I think, you know, recently I've had the opportunity of doing that as well. But in the back of your mind, there's still those things that you want to accomplish. And, you know, looking through a lot of this and kind of, you know, I guess doing my pre-podcast work, you know, I see that this last year has been, you know, a very, you know, it looks like a down up year kind of year. But, and before you popped on, and for those of you listening, you know, the kind of whole schedule of how everything works is, you know, I reach out to someone and I say, hey, you want to come on the pod? They say, oh, well, I've never done this before. Yeah, that sounds interesting. And when I send it to Aaron's like, oh, well, I'm about to run a marathon like in a week or so. And I'm like, that's cool. Just like go ahead and book it on the schedule. So almost fresh off a marathon, only about a week out, you know, you did what was it again?
Desert Island Marathon. It's in Bar Harbor, Maine. What's where it starts? Yeah.
Mount
Desert Island. I know it's weird. MDI.
Mount Desert Island Marathon in Maine. And as if in my mind, hearing that it is a marathon, but it is a marathon with lots of hills and mountains. Yeah. Lots of elevation. But to talk about that and to talk about that in perspective of seeing on your social media that it was only like a year ago that you were dealing with pretty serious hip surgery.
Yep.
And so you're in this, you've been in this mode where it's like, not only are you giving back to community, but now you're also looking at, you're facing down something that you want to accomplish, something that you want to do. And so how's the community come along and helped you in that? What has the support at Run GR been like? What is the support from the social media Run community that you're a part of, from Bobby and that crew and all those folks?
Yeah. 56 weeks ago, this past Friday, I went in for a hip labrum repair. They shaved down my bone and stitched up a tear. Dr. Weirks in Grand Rapids, Michigan, he's the best. So if you need surgery, come up here. it was something I was born with. Running did not cause it. He did say running brought it to light, which actually was a good thing because otherwise I probably would have had a hip replacement in the next 5 years, which would have put me at 37. And that's a little too young for a hip replacement. I did that. And then, I mean, the community itself was awesome. I mean, I had people bringing me coffee. I had people coming to visit me because of course I was on crutches for 3 weeks. It was 50% weight bearing. So it wasn't like completely unreasonable restrictions. People coming to visit. I had so many people reaching out to me, asking how it was going. And I had a couple friends who had gone through the same surgery. And so I actually was able to ask them questions as far as like, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. Is this normal? Did this happen for you? And, you know, as I progressed, you know, I came off of crutches and then I went through the multiple weeks of PT leading up to my appointment as to whether or not I could start running on our boost treadmill that my PT has, one of the anti-gravity type treadmills. I just had like an outpouring of encouragement and support and just the amount of people who like were rejoicing with me, but all, when I could, you know, do when I was having the little victories of like, yep, you can run on the boost today for, you know, a run walk for 20 minutes, you know, like 1 minute walk, 1 minute run, 2 minute walk, one, you know, and it was, I don't remember now what the progression was, but I mean, posting about that on Instagram and Facebook, it was like the comments and the likes and the people who texted me like, oh, you're coming back. Like, that's so exciting. And it really makes you realize like how many people you have in your life that are in your corner. Like you have an idea, but then when you have something mm-hmm. that happen and everybody's like, hey, like, haven't talked to you in a while. Like, I know we don't talk a ton except for maybe when we're running, but I haven't seen you cause you've been MIA cause of your surgery. So how's it going? Like, you know, when are you going to come back? And then the amount of people that like celebrated with me when I showed up for my first Saturday long run where I could run, you know, 30 minutes or something. It was like my long run for the week. And they were like, oh my gosh, like we've missed you. Welcome back. You know, and then you're running and you're like, okay, bye. You know, it was pretty awesome. And then like the amount of people that like, I feel like I've had a pretty good handle keeping my expectations for myself, like at a reasonable level, but the amount of people who were like, oh, well, we knew you could do that. You know, and like, if something went really well or like, if it didn't go as well as maybe I'd hoped, but I was kind of like, you know, it's not that big of a deal. Like everybody would remind me, yeah, but remember where you were 6 months ago. Like you were on crutches. So like you might be disappointed that you ran X instead of, you know, 2 minutes faster, but also remember where you were 4, 5, 6 months ago, or, you know, your DNF from your, you know, your race right before surgery. Like, I mean, you couldn't have done this then. And so it was pretty awesome. And this marathon, like, I had everybody like, you're going to run a massive PR. Like you're super, like you're back, you're all the way back. And I was like, you guys haven't seen this course. Like, there's so many hills, like around Michigan, like we have pretty punchy climbs, which are pretty easy to train for. But I mean, there were hills there that were, and they weren't super steep, but they're like a mile long. I can't train for that around here. But I mean, I still had a great race. And I said, you know, regardless as to what happens, that race is going to be a victory lap. And, you know, so many people in the group just reached out and celebrated with me like, hey, welcome back. Like, welcome back to the marathon club. You know, and it's good. The marathon, I love the marathon because it always humbles you. So like, regardless as to whether the course is hard or not. but no, it's been awesome to realize like how many people actually care. So.
Yeah. And just to say, like, it feels like no matter what that first challenge after coming back is, you know, whether it's a 5K or a marathon or, you know, for some of those who are a little bit more wacky, maybe an Iron Man. I don't know. Like, I mean, people, they got, but to see the community that comes around you, it almost reminds you then of how much of that effort you've put in over the years. How much do you, looking at that? And, you know, maybe I don't know if I'm the only one that does this, but, you know, you kind of scroll through your own like Instagram feed and just kind of like look back and see like, oh, look how screwed up I was back then. But just like looking back, like how much of looking back and especially, you know, honing in on that last year and then thinking about a lot of the comments that folks have made, like, how much do you then like reflect back on what that community has done for you and how much the work that you put in from, you know, that first time you showed up at Run GR until now of, you know, building your presence in this community, enhancing your own spirit of communal running. How much of that kind of just is a part of that reflection as you're looking back on all of this time?
I mean, it plays a big role. So yeah, I mean, part of it is, you know, I wouldn't be where I am today without them the same way I wouldn't be where I am today without, you know, that first step out the door after, you know, I went through a traumatizing life event as an 18-year-old. But, you know, that community, it's just, I mean, the amount that they've poured out to me is pretty awesome. I don't know. Rephrase that question again. I feel like I like zoned out a little bit. Just listening to you talk, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to answer a question, and I actually don't know exactly what he said.
No, I mean, I think that there's a lot in that of what you just said and bringing it full circle back to where you were when you were 18 years old. And even from 18 to, you know, 22 when you're out of college. But as you're looking back on that essence of community and you're looking at what you accomplished last weekend at MDI, you know, what does it mean for all of those folks who were alongside you in this journey, who were pumping you up, who were supporting you, who were there on the walk runs, who are there on the walks? What is it, you know, what does that feeling mean to you as you even just reflect on where you're going moving forward?
Yeah. I mean, it means a ton. Like, I mean, the amount of people, like I said, the amount of people that were just reaching out to me and like, the whole week leading up to that marathon, the amount of people I think that had more confidence in myself than I did was like, it was humbling. It was definitely something. I think if 20, you know, 20, any 15 to 25 year old Erin knew the support that in the community that she would have now, she would be floored. And that's in such a good way, because I mean, I just wanted, it wasn't that I wasn't part of things. I was a part of so many things. I was a very social kid, but like, I wanted that one thing that was just mine, which is hilarious, right? Because a community is not just yours. It's a community. But I needed to be somebody in some type of community, and I have that. And it's been mind boggling, like how many people followed my journey that I may not even have known, like, you know, cause there are sometimes people follow you on social media and you either miss the follow or, you know, you choose not to follow back because of whatever reason. And I mean, I had people reach out to me about my surgery that I was like, I have no idea who you are. Somehow they stumbled across my profile, saw I had hip surgery and were like, oh my gosh, I had this same surgery. Can you offer advice or can you? And it's just been like, I'm not hugely active on social media except for my stories, which are mostly just my dog. But like, I don't, it's been very, I think humbling is probably the best word. Just the amount of people that have been engaged in my life that I didn't maybe even know were there.
Mm.
So, and I knew they were there, but like, I didn't know that they cared as much as they did. So.
And how much do you think that a lot of your run growth has been more mental than physical since you've been involved in community?
I think a lot of it, because I think a lot of it, I mean, they encourage you to be more than you think you can, which I mean, yes, is physical because it's, you still have to do the thing. Right. But it's, I mean, it's a lot of it is believing that you are capable. And a lot of times that stems from other people thinking you're capable. My college coach was the one who first told me, like, you know, I think you'll be really good at the marathon and then the ultra marathon. Like, and I was like, what? Like, cause at the time, I don't even think I'd run a half. But based on based on what I was showing, he was like, I think you're going to be a good ultra marathoner someday. And I was like, yeah, no, like, you know, there's no way I'm ever running an ultra marathon. But I mean, it started with him and then it progressed to, you know, maybe it plateaued a little bit. You know, actually it didn't. I actually did run an ultra with him a couple years after college. And then I promptly swore off the ultra distance for forever, which I mean, didn't actually end up happening, but that's what happens. And then once I joined Run GR, it became kind of like, oh, well, if they did it, maybe I can do it too. And then you kind of you grow from there. You know, that looks different for everybody. Like, mm-hmm. you know, whether like, oh, I've never really run further than a 5K, but maybe I could do a 10K. Maybe I could do a half marathon. Like, but if they'll do it with me, then I definitely can do it. And I think that's kind of, that's how I grew mentally a lot. I mean, I think I've always been a very competitive person. But then it became like, not about competitiveness so much as just grit and determination of like, well, if they think I can, I'm going to prove them right. Like I'm going to make them believe that their belief in me was valid. So.
And what are maybe as you're looking forward and, you know, you're coming off MDI, it sounds like you had a really good race for everything that it was for the mountainous terrain. Yeah. And for where you've been, you know, what are your goals moving forward, both in the run community and for Aaron?
Yeah, I think I'm in the run community. I'm dabbling in coaching at the moment, which I've really enjoyed doing. Obviously still in the same community. I'm a massage therapist. I absolutely love my job, which I feel like a lot of people can't say. So, absolutely love what I do. I love especially working with athletes just because as an athlete myself, like I feel like I know I have a little bit better grasp at what I think needs worked on than some therapists. But, so aside from that though, I mean, my own personal running goals, I've been chasing a sub-3 in the marathon since 2018 when I first believed that I was capable of that. And that still eludes me to this day. I was hoping to the answer, but the hills quickly leveled that aspiration. My husband and I are going to Hawaii this December, and I have a bucket list goal to do a marathon in every state. So we're going to run the Honolulu Marathon while we're there. So haven't been to Hawaii, so that's what we're doing. But then beyond that, it's funny because it's very different, but like I want to run a sub-3 marathon and I also really, really, really want to do Western States. So the 100 in California. So actually in February, I'm going to go do Black Canyon 100K, which is a lottery qualifier. And so then I'll have two tickets into the lottery because I did Leadville a few years ago, the Leadville 100. So I will have two tickets. And so TBD on when I will be at Western States, but both of those are running goals are, I mean, lifelong, you know, like I'm not on any timeline as far as well, I have to have this done by X number of years, but which is awesome. Right. I mean, this is something we can do the rest of our lives and time slow down. Sure. But also cares. Like we're still out doing the thing. We're still enjoying the scenery and the camaraderie and the people you meet in other, you know, cities, states, countries, even. I have friends across the world that I've met because of running, which is awesome. Cause then I'm like, oh, you can come here and do this race and I'll go to Austria and I'll do the race that you have over there. You know, so it's pretty awesome. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I could, again, go on for a long time about the goals I have, but those are probably the two that are at the forefront of my brain at the moment. And we have a race called Margie Gesick here up in Marquette, Michigan, which is in the upper part of Michigan, the upper peninsula. And that was my DNF last year from my hip surgery. I made it 70 miles and then couldn't walk. So that has to be that's this next coming September. That's my redemption race. So that will be glorious to check off the list as far as that goes, because it's my only DNF at this point. And it does not sit well with me.
So. Yeah. And probably also humbling to know that, you know, looking back on the last year, your run community support system is there behind you, cheering you on every step of the way. Yeah. And I think that's and that's one of the greatest things about community is in the highs or in the lows, as much as in the highs, you know, they're always there and they're always supporting you, which is always great. So, Aaron,
To my cycling community too, because while I was coming back from injury, I was on the bike a ridiculous amount, you know, coming back from surgery, because I could bike before I could run. And I'm a part of, so my husband's mostly a cyclist more than a runner now. So like, I mean, because of him, I'm a part of their group too. And like, even them, they were like, it's been awesome seeing you come back. So shout out to the Grand Rapids cycling team as well, which I'm not as active in, because now that I can run again, I'm not really on a bike, but I feel like I'm a part of their community because I'm a part of his community. And it's just outdoor people are the best, man. It's just anybody who spends their time outdoors, whether it's on 2 feet or two wheels, they're communities to be a part of.
I heard, marathoners are always one injury away from an Ironman, and I am determined to say I'm not. It's about as determined as I am to say I'm not going to run a marathon. So I'm not a marathoner. I am a marathoner. I'm not a practicing marathoner. I'm a lapsed marathoner.
An Ironman is a check I would like to make someday, but I'm low key terrified of swimming. So it will have to be a very specific decision. My husband's like an eight Ironman finisher. So I have to do a check. I have to do it because he's done so many. I don't know when that will be. Maybe when I'm like, the next time I'm injured and I have to walk a marathon, I'll spend all my time swimming and biking.
I think my feeling is I will support folks on whatever journey.
Yes.
if you let me only run that long. So Aaron, let's dive into these end of podcast questions. This has been a great conversation. So what is your favorite distance to run?
You know, and I thought about this every time I was listening to one of your interviews with someone, as I was like, how am I going to answer this question? And I think it has to be the marathon, but there is a reason I fluctuate between road and trail every couple seasons. So, it doesn't even have to be an ultra marathon. I love the trail. So I guess the marathon, but I do have a special place for any and all trail races, but probably, I guess I'll say the marathon. I won't like make a bunch of caveats for myself.
We've got some pretty good trail marathons here in Virginia. I want to say there's one out in like Charlottesville that they do every year. In fact, they have a half marathon that goes with it. And I'm like, oh, that sounds fun. And I'm like, I'd get on a trail and immediately probably like fracture every bone in my leg.
I have not checked off Virginia, although I was pretty sold on Richmond until I started hearing about Shamrock. So
come on down to Shamrock. So both of those are great races. However, I am an ambassador for J&A. So you should come down and run Shamrock, because not only is it a great marathon, everybody here is screaming, it's also a great party and a fun time. So come on down.
That's what I've been hearing.
Come on down and join. Registration's open. It's this coming March, but yeah. All right. So what is your favorite post-run, like food, snack, meal? It doesn't have to be a race. It can just be any run. What do you like to grab?
Ooh, French fries. If we're going run, just generically a run, French fries, but any brunch too, really. I really like. So typically to me, we're being specific on anything that's taking longer. When you say favorite indulgence, it's like post a long run. Cause after a long run, I'm just like, I'll just go about my day. But like a long run, I'm a big fan of brunch or French fries. Post a big race, it's always French fry, burger, a beer if I'm somewhere that's got good beer. I don't drink a lot, but usually post races when I allow myself a beer. So.
And lastly, Aaron, give our listeners a reason to join their local run club.
Oh, so many reasons. I mean, we like to say that our run club is full of all the friends you never know you needed. But also, I mean, like I said, like you went, which also the phrase, when you want to go fast, go alone, when you want to go far, go together. I also don't think that's accurate, because I got faster by running with people. So I don't know. We could argue the soundness of the philosophy of that phrase, but, I don't just community. Well, and then like your community doesn't have to be local. Like, I mean, I go down to Bentonville, Arkansas every year and I join, 20, 30, 40 new friends that we all go out for breakfast afterwards. And I'm there once a year. Like I've showed up at run groups across the country and you make friends for, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And then like you follow each other on social media. And then like, even if you don't really ever see them in person again, like your friends on social media, you see their adventures, their family's adventures, And I mean, like you can have such a community that you never knew you needed. And I mean, it's the best. So
Yeah.
It needs support structure and adventure buddies. I mean, I've traveled places with people that I met once and are like, hey, I'm going to be there too. Why don't we grab an Airbnb together? Like, we've only hung out once at this one run club or this one race one time, but now we're like sharing an Airbnb because we're both doing the same race. It's the best type of friends because you always have something in common, even if nothing else is in common. So I don't know. There's so many reasons, but again, I could talk for 3 hours. So
no, there you go. Well, and shout out to Bobby Kurtzelis down there in Bentonville, Arkansas. Absolutely. Yeah, I feel like it's like Bentonville, Arkansas. Oh yeah, Bobby. Everybody's going to be associated that from now on. But yeah. And I mean, it's so great because there always is that feeling that no matter where you are, and especially one of the things I've noticed doing the podcast now is I never felt isolated, like just in my running community. I think primarily because I've been like wholly a part of running communities in two different places. Yeah, they've both been in the same state, but it kind of goes to show that like you can pick it up and then there always is that possibility or that chance or that space where it's going to be recreated someplace else. And just in this short amount of time of less than a year that I've been doing this podcast to see, you know, I started here in Hampton Roads and now it's like I've had, you know, Austin, Texas, I've had Bentonville, Arkansas, I've had New York, I've had Michigan, I've had, you know, Atlanta, I've had all of these different places where it's like, no, we're all doing like all these cool things. And to get that together and to see, it's like, if I ever go to like Grand Rapids, could be like, hey, Aaron, I'm in Grand Rapids. Like, let's like, what day do y'all meet up?
Also, are you trying to get 50 states now, podcast interviews?
You know, I might start keeping track. I'm going to have to see. I know. I think I got like 5 or 6 off now. So yeah, maybe. All right. So we're putting it out here. Andrew's going for the 50 states podcast guest. I mean, here we go.
I could put you in touch.
But oh, thank you so much, Aaron, for coming on. This has been a great adventure.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Not making it up when I say that this is one of the reasons that I love putting together this podcast. Stories like Aaron's, journeys like hers, are the reason that this podcast just brings so much wealth of understanding and knowledge when it comes to how much community actually helps. You know, we can look at that African proverb, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. But it's almost as if we can shift that mentality of the further we go, there is a sense of fastness. Like, you can gain speed in community. You don't have to think yourself above the fray of running community. And I just love this idea that the run club is full of the friends you didn't know you needed. And what that means about coming together and seeing what community can do for us as we grow on the run together. And I love that inspiration we got from Aaron and what that has meant. And looking even towards the journey of this podcast and how we can continue to go together. So I want to thank you for joining me. Just a little update, as you listen to that episode there towards the end, we did kind of talk about how many of those states that I've knocked off. I think I counted them up and I've got about 9 states. I'm going to post that on Instagram and on the website. And so you check that out. If you're from one of those states that hasn't been checked off yet, you know, the other 41 of those that I have not checked off, reach out to me. I'd love to have you on. I'm always looking for great stories and we can get you booked and scheduled. But if you're interested in coming on a podcast episode, let me know. Whether you're from one of those states or you're from one of the states that I've already checked off, email me, andrew@runninrev.com. And I would love to get amazing stories of community and runners booked, continuing to share these stories. And I'd also love it if you'd help to support this podcast. I know I do this every episode. I come on here and I give you all these ways to support. And friends, you know, I'm not trying to hawk myself. I'm not trying to build myself up. I'm just calling, you know, support the podcast because I love doing this and I love seeing how much y'all are enjoying it. And so whether it is just that nature of following and subscribing to the podcast, you know, if you can leave a rating and review Apple Podcasts, Spotify, as you always hear, or you can come through and help to support the pod in those monetary ways, head on over to buymeacoffee.com/runandrev. I'm trying to build some stuff up. I love that this is listener supported by you all. And so I'm trying to do a few things, get some hosting fees covered, get some new equipment hopefully covered as well. And so head on over there. I've got a goal to raise $500. And so if you can help out with that, with either a one-time donation, just tip, if you really love this episode and love what you heard, or if you want to become a monthly donor and give a recurring gift to Run, Build, Grow and to the Run and Rev, myself, that would be so appreciative. You'll get call outs. I love giving shout outs to folks. And so if you can help out in that way, that would be amazing. But from here, we go and we continue to grow on the run together. And remember, make every mile count.